The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Monday and move into October, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Well, actually, I'm doing terrible.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm doing normal.
Yeah.
It's a normal day.
Yeah. Okay.
All of my football teams stink.
Yeah.
All of my favorite golfers stink.
Mm.
So it's a normal weekend.
Okay.
You know, normal. Now I can get back to, you know, doing what I do, and I won't be able to, you know, well, at least for a while, I'll try to live my life through me instead of through other people.
Okay.
So that's going to be the goal.
That sounds fair.
Interesting day. Breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
United States and Canada announcing that they have a... Is it a deal or a tentative deal? We went through this last week. They've announced they have a deal.
Yeah.
Even though
they say they have a deal, which actually isn't a deal until the deal is done and signed. But that's okay.
A very important note here, though, one of the most important notes, is that they've actually changed the name. It will no longer be NAFTA.
No.
The North American has been taken out and replaced with?
Un-American. Oh, what? I don't know.
The North America has been taken out.
Yeah, because we don't need, you know, we don't need that in there.
Right. It's been replaced with, instead of North America, United States, Mexico, and Canada, previously known as North America.
Yeah. Well,
I guess I should say North American, because it actually is not North America. It's a North American free trade.
Yeah, so they just changed it to the free trade agreement that includes the countries of North America.
Yes.
Here's what they changed it to. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. Do they not know that USMC is already taken? That's the Marine Corps. Hoorah. We don't need it. Stop trying to just change the name.
Well, because
if you change the name, it's much better.
Well, the funny thing is, going through it, it was like one of the because everybody's written on it, has been writing about it, and it was the last line of the article that I first read that had it, and I just burst out laughing when they said the North America Free Trade Agreement will now be the United States Mexico Canada Trade Agreement, right?
Yeah.
There's no free anymore in it, so they're taking out North America and free.
Yeah.
By the way, there's no way to analyze anything on this. You know, we talked about when they came up with the tentative deal. By the way, this does not include, apparently does not include the steel tariffs and the aluminum tariffs.
Right.
That's a separate side deal. Why? We don't know at this point. The only thing we know, and of course it's going to be promoted by this side, it'll be interesting to see the Canada media tomorrow, because what we do in free trade agreements is we announce where we think we've got to win, and they announce where they think they've got to win, and we don't announce where we don't think we got to win, and they don't announce where they don't think they got to win.
Yeah.
But they say the markets to dairy will be opened further. Not completely open, but this is something that's normally done in free trade agreements when you're trying to make a point. We talked about this in the South Korea free trade agreement with the United States. Trade agreement? Because they were going to allow, I forgot, was it a certain type of automobile? But it was just American automobiles, right?
Right.
They were going to allow, I think, 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
They were lifting the cap. Previously, they had only allowed 10,000 American cars to be sold in South Korea. Now they were going to move it up to 20,000 before the tariffs moved in. And as was reported, we aren't even over 6,000. So you do things like that. You set parameters that mean nothing. Look, we said this a long time ago. The president will be out all week promoting the fact that he got it done. he got the free trade deal done, that he got exactly what he wanted. We will see when it comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. But as we have said with most free trade agreements, remember, it wasn't that the president said he would get a free trade agreement done. What he said was he will get a free trade agreement that will get rid of the trade deficit.
Yes.
Now, I know the president will be out and he will be selling this irrespective of what is in the free trade agreement. And the people that love the president will say he did exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm fine with that as long he has, in reality, he doesn't do what he initially said he was going to do.
Well, you know, I'm just fine with everything if they'll just get it behind us. You know, the moving of, well, we'll do this much more over here and this much less over here. It really isn't, because there's been no promise. The only thing I've seen in terms of the measurement of the dairy agreement is that it will mirror that of the agreement that Canada just reached with Europe and other countries, other parts of the world. So I have no idea what that means for the U.S. I don't know how to quantify that. And again, there was no target, right? There was nothing where they said, look, we must get this much increase for the dairy farmers of the U.S. You know, this is what we're working on. This is who we're working on behalf of. So I don't, there was never this, I guess, line or goal for them to reach, the administration. In fact, just a few days ago, they were saying, yeah, we're way too far apart to be reaching a deal before the deadline. And here we are, a few days later. So we have no idea what it means and how much of an increase for those dairy farmers in terms of being able to sell to Canada that is.
You know what I didn't hear mentioned at all?
Hmm.
In any article that I've read, now it's early on. It may be tomorrow. Nothing on the soft timber.
No, I didn't see anything on that. In fact, the only two items I did see was dairy and automobiles.
And by the way, when we say win or lose, we're not talking about win or lose by our standards, because win and lose by our standards with trading with Canada should be free trade across the board, no tariffs, no limits or anything. If Canada puts tariffs on, that's wrong. If the United States puts tariffs on, that is wrong. But is that where we made the compromise on soft timber, and that's why you didn't hear the administration come out and talk about, you know, the soft timber? That we have said, okay, we're not, remember, they were going after the soft timber industry, claiming that the government subsidizes it in Canada.
Right.
And with the duties and whatever put on soft timber, as we know, construction in the United States will become more expensive, which will hurt the bottom line of the GDP. So, you know, look, there's a ton of things here, and you just mentioned something that just a couple of days ago, we're way far off, we're not going to have a deal. Well, the president knew that he had to have Canada in the deal or it was a no-go in Congress. Wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
So he was under that pressure to come up with some kind of deal. Otherwise, it wouldn't go through, and he had to get it done now because they want it done before December 1st when the Mexican president is out.
Right.
So we're right at that 60-day deadline. It's got to be done now. So there was pressure on the administration. Did the administration crumble on parts that they wanted? I guess we shall see. It was interesting that I read a couple of articles in the last couple of weeks from Canada, where they said, you know what the Canadian government decided to do? We're just not going to respond to Trump on anything.
Hmm.
He can sit there and script, just be quiet, say nothing. Don't give him a target back, don't say anything. And so if you think the Canadians have been quiet lately because of it, that was their whole purpose. Let's just be quiet. But Canada knew that they understood. Canada understood that, look, one of the things that we have against the United States in this deal is Trump has to get it done. He's got to get it done by a certain time period. Otherwise, you know, the Congress is not going to pass a trade deal that's separate from Mexico. And therefore, that's the pressure they had on the administration. I guess we shall see.
Well, yeah, here's what I don't hear right now. I don't hear any promotion of a massive, I guess, concession by Canada by the administration yet.
No, because the deer is tiny.
And that's the whole thing.
Right.
Is that the movement, if there were big movement here, we'd know about it already. That would be in the media. That would be the story that Trump claims the following. So, again, how much of a victory is it? Did it do anything? Did it change anything? And if we haven't gotten the steel and aluminum tariffs done, then what does that look like? Because that right now, if you look at what has really impacted the economy so far, it's been that. Just the threat of those when they started talking about those tariffs.
Well, let me ask you this. Are we at a point where both Mexico and Canada, because we've talked about how not a lot of details have come out about Mexico.
Right.
So are we just to the point where they said, look, we both got to say we have an agreement to start the clock ticking for the next 60 days.
Right. We've come to terms and we'll work out the details later, and we push off the deadline for now.
Man, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, including that. Kavanaugh, the FBI investigation, how the goalposts have been moved. Remember last week I said that they moved the goalposts basically from American football to Canadian football. Now I think the goalposts have been moved. It's a soccer field now. It's that even that
mm-hmm.
that much longer now.
Right.
Because the goalposts keep moving with the Democrats. So we'll get to that. Plus your calls and comments. We had a great show ahead. If you'd like to get in, lines are open now. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio. Toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Before we get to all the developments in the FBI, now remember, just an additional background check. It's not an investigation. It's very important to say that because there are differences between an investigation and a background check. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit and how Democrats have been moving the goalpost on this, the one I loved yesterday. Well, he might have perjured himself. On what? The amount of drinking in high school. Really? That's what you've got now. Okay.
So. Are we going to measure the amount of drinking in high school?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll get to that here in a little bit. A couple of things and we didn't get a lot of chance to talk about economic things last week. And so with the announcement that a new United States, Canada, and Mexico trade deal has been done. And we're stating that because no longer is it North American, it's United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Right.
The name has been changed. a couple of economic indicators. You know, the month of July was horrible. I mean, it was the highest in 5 months for a trade deficit. Soybeans killed us, not being able to sell soybeans. Europe isn't going to be able to make up the majority of the soybean loss that we have had, and civilian aircraft got hit real big in July. Last week, economic indicators coming out that because of the tariffs that were put into place just about a week and a half ago, that it was starting to hurt manufacturing not only in China but the indicators in the United States. You could see them going down as well. You and I have talked about this many times. You can scream that you want to get the trade imbalance down, but the reality is the only thing that matters is economic growth. That's a strong thing that the president has had right now. You know that there are people in the White House like Larry Kudlow, might not be Wilbur Ross, might not be Peter Navarro, but you know that Kudlow's in there telling him you cannot have these kind of massive tariffs with Europe, the United States, Mexico, and China. It's going to kill your economic growth. If you wish to be president in 2020, you've got to reverse course.
Yeah.
You've got to come up with a deal. If you wish to isolate China, politically, you probably can survive that. But you cannot isolate the United States from Europe, Canada, and Mexico. You can't do that. And so the fact that this deal was done so quickly at the last second, knowing the administration, knowing that, look, Congress is not going to approve just a free trade deal. And you're going to go in there and say, okay, fine, NAFTA's gone and nothing replaces it. Going into the midterms and then wanting to have economic growth in 2019 and 2020. And you've just said NAFTA's gone, massive tariffs on China, won't deal with Europe. You have got advisors to the president saying you can't do this. Did you hear that Kushner was the one they say that was the one that got everybody to calm down?
Mm.
Jared Kushner mm-hmm. was the mm-hmm. one.
Right.
Reading that today, I'm like, well, really?
Well, I mean, the reality is that, again, you head into the midterm. You don't have something done. You're not going to get anything done on the Mexico deal, so you're left with nothing. Or you get this win and claim, you know, you can at least claim that you're selling more dairy to Canada. If you can call it a win, which if you're selling more, it's not less.
Well, look, we said this already mm-hmm. that there, you know, to try to regulate an international economy. And sorry, I know people don't want an international economy. But the reality is you can't stop it.
But you can Trump can't stop
it. You can isolate yourself from it, but you can't stop it. It's impossible. But when you have, as we talked about in Mexico, per capita, where they, if you look at the trade going back and forth across the border, and it's a tough thing to figure out because, as we've said before, remember, 40% of what comes in from Mexico, when a good comes in from Mexico, 40% of that good was made in the United States.
Yeah.
And the average product has crossed the border three or four times. What was it, four times, did they say? I think it was four times.
Right, yeah.
And we were selling Mexico to begin with, per capita. That's their population. For every dollar they sent to us, we sent them $3. They're a smaller country. They have close to a third of the population of the United States. Canada has, like, what, one-eighth of the population right. of the United States? And we were selling them, like, for every dollar they sent us, you know, for every dollar, you know, we bought as in, you know, per capita, that's per person in the United States of Canadian products, per capita, they were buying roughly $8 to $9 to $10 over the last couple of years. Per capita is what we were selling them. They're a smaller country. You're not going to equalize the trade deficit. It's impossible.
No, there's no way you'll ever get there.
No.
I don't care how much more dairy you're going to sell them. They'll never consume as much as the United States.
It won't even be close.
No.
So, again, we'll see what comes out of this. And it probably, it'll start leaking out hopefully in the next couple of weeks, especially since now it goes before Congress. And we'll update you on what's in there.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
We're going to pick up a lot of moisture for Southern California and Western Arizona as the remnants of Hurricane Rosa come ashore through the early part of the week. There's a low in the Pacific that's combining with the system that'll create some unsettled weather, most likely as far as Los Angeles, with a chance of showers today. We'll continue to see the chance of rain along the Gulf Coast from South Texas over to Florida. You'll note we've already seen some snow in the higher elevations of the mountain regions of some of the northern tier states, Idaho, Montana, North and South Dakota. So if you're traveling in and out of I-94 in the region, I-29 or 15, keep in mind this is the time of year that snow can come at a moment's notice. But most of what we're seeing today, falling from Seattle all the way over to Detroit, is going to be in the form of rain. Clear today in the Northeast and Midwest. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Where is the outrage? Eric Hurley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eyes. So the good thing is I have to stay home all day tomorrow.
Yeah?
Who knows? It depends. I've got a hot water heater, and the city has to inspect it, and it's tomorrow.
Right.
But they never give you a time.
No.
It's like, but this is good, though. Why? Because they take care of the people on third shift.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I'm going to be home all day, but I can't imagine working first shift, and there's no time. They don't give you a time span like, okay, we'll be there between 9 and 11 or 11 and 1. We'll be there sometime during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, like people have all that kind of free time or can take the day off, right?
So be home all day.
Well, and you don't get a call ahead of time that we're heading to your house now.
No call ahead of time. You just have to wait all day for the inspector to come.
Yeah.
So if there was ever a day for that to happen, it's tomorrow because I've not watched one baseball game this year.
Yeah.
And I'll watch the majority of two baseball games tomorrow because it's the the playoffs start now.
Mm-hmm.
And Milwaukee plays the Cubs tomorrow at noon Central. And then Colorado at the Dodgers at 3 p.m. I don't know what it is. So I love watching baseball in the fall during the playoffs. And it's a one-game elimination because they were tied with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't just say, you know how like the NFL would say, okay, you have the exact same record, now the tiebreaker. No, they make you play the game, which is great.
Yeah, go sports.
You know, I never got to watch golf because remember on Friday when I started, I was talking about the Ryder Cup being played, United States against Europe.
And yeah, so remember, congratulations, Europe. Congratulations.
So,
and I mean it.
So I wake up Friday. I got a ton of things to do on Friday, but when I wake up, it's already over for the day because they start at like 2 in the morning, and it's all over by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. So I say, okay, maybe I'll watch some Saturday. I wake up Saturday, it's done. It's like a Bills blowout. It was already, I mean, they already had a day and a half left, and they were so far ahead, you're like, well, it won't even be competitive. Well, that's it. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
So that was gone really quick. All right, so where do we start?
With Jeff Flake. Living up to his last name repeatedly.
Okay, let's start there.
Well, because, all right, here's the problem with the way this went down. So Thursday night into Friday morning, we knew Thursday evening that Jeff Flake met with three others. There was Manchin, Murkowski, and Collins, and Flake in a meeting. That was, again, at the end of the day, into Thursday evening, after the testimony by Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. The word coming out of those meetings is that Manchin was a yes. Flake, in fact, announced that he was going to vote yes. All of a sudden, he gets cornered in an elevator. This is the difference between this is exactly what really got us here was the idea of putting all of this on television in the first place. Because now the left feels empowered to be able to change the landscape by screaming, by shouting at you. And they will be thanks to Jeff Flake. They believe they can win. They, in fact, one of those shouting at him in that elevator was all over social media on Friday. This is why we go direct. Going direct means getting in your face, which means expect more of that wherever you are if you're a lawmaker. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're a Republican lawmaker, they don't care about Flake's hatred for the president. They don't care about his disdain for, see, I don't know if he was looking to kumbaya his situation Now, he knew he wasn't going to win in November, so he decided not to run. Then he, of course, has been going off on the president on a number of things, holding up procedures and essentially a number of items hostage so he can get his way. He was kowtowing to the left repeatedly. But see, Mr. Flake, they don't care about you or your disdain for Trump. You can be in agreement for that disdain with them. They don't care because you're still the bad guy. So he goes in and he, of course, decides he's going to hold up the vote. I'll support it in committee, but I'm not going to support it on the broad vote. Well, there you have the essentially the door open for others to say, okay, we support that as well. So now you have the background check. This is not an investigation.
No, it is not. No.
It is a background check with a series of interviews. They've done several already. They're going to do another one. And the scope is limited. And see, the liberals got onto the president for limiting the scope. Well, this is only about the accusations. But it does include the Ramirez accusations, not just the Ford accusations.
Right.
So now you have, again, the claim being made. And now it's going to be, by the way, we could have done this July 30th with the Ford accusations. And you've got what? The FBI going and doing interviews. They will not make a decision. They will just hand their report to the White House. The White House will send it to the Senate. That's how all of this is going to work. So you've delayed it by a week. Or if you're the Democrats, you realize this thing is going to go nowhere and you start screaming perjury. Well, the House isn't going to bring up perjury charges.
Perjury for what?
Exactly what? Specifically, and where's the proof that he lied about it? See, the problem with the Ford allegations is that you cannot, it's impossible to prove or disprove based on what has been presented.
Well, they initially jumped on the fact that there were friends of Ford who said he lied when he said, but he lied about his drinking.
Right.
How?
Yeah, right.
How is that? He talked about the fact that he drank and.
Mm-hmm. In high school, he liked beer. He still likes beer.
Right. You know, and.
Because you would have to get down to.
And he said he never blacked out.
Right.
But he said he fell asleep after drinking,
mm-hmm.
which might have, but how do you get him on perjury?
Here's the thing.
You don't know if he blacked out or not. So how do you get him on perjury for that? I don't understand.
Well, what's interesting here is if we're going to go off on that, then what about every person who wants to run for president? Because I don't know. I remember Barack Obama and him smoking pot, and the story of him smoking pot, and all of this.
But they're just hitting the perjury of it.
Oh no! I know.
Just the
perjury. But the point is, the perjury is what goes back to: we want to label him as a bad guy. He's a liar. He's a blackout, fall down drunk.
Right.
Well. And then you got the pushback, of course, on Sunday from Lindsey Graham and others where it was, this guy's not a stumbling drunk. But it essentially goes back to labeling him, Kavanaugh, as such from high school. Well, gosh, I thought we set that standard with Bill Clinton, with Barack Obama and others. Oh, it only matters is if he leans right, if he's a threat to the left, then we're going to shout, well, you never heard of a guy drinking beer in high school? Really?
Well, I what I also loved was how they moved the goalpost where first on Friday and part of Saturday, it was he's too partisan. Mm-hmm. Because of his reaction, attacking the Democrats.
No, that's the
that he was too partisan,
right.
And cannot serve. He doesn't have he doesn't have what it takes because he's too partisan. Well, the part that turned into because then the report came out about Ruth Bader Ginsburg back in 2016, where she said she calls Trump a faker. Mm-hmm. She's getting involved in politics. You shouldn't be getting involved in politics. Mm-hmm. This is a direct accusation at you by individuals. Mm-hmm. He didn't take on and say the entire Democratic Party. He said you.
Well, and I saw it written in one story because there was no promise that he could rule without bias or something to that extent. And I thought, are you kidding me? You've got Sotomayor on tape, on record, saying it is the job of judges and justices to legislate from the bench. The whole thing is, this is, because if it were another, let's say, Elena Kagan that the president nominated, now there would still be objections. He must be up to something. That would probably be the objection. It's Trump. He must be up to something. I mean, he could have nominated Merrick Garland. Oh, no. We looked further into Merrick Garland, and he's the wrong choice. I mean, it would have been something, some kind of objection. But for the media, that there's no promise that Kavanaugh would leave his bias aside.
Right.
Tells you what? First of all, that they still don't get it.
Right. But then they dropped that.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped that and it became his temperament. It became his anger. It wasn't that it was directed at that because once the Ginsburg thing came out, they go, wait a minute, Ginsburg's been political all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to drop that. So they went to the next thing. They moved the goalposts again, which is his temperament. And, you know, Feinstein has gone to the, you know, has petitioned the ADA to change their ranking of him as from well qualified mm-hmm. because of his temperament, because of his scream, or because of his anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's where they've gone. I mean, and so it's just they just keep moving the goalpost and moving
because Grassley and Flake let it happen. They allowed them to move the goalpost, and here we are, and it will be 2 weeks essentially past when it should have happened, the vote. So that's on them.
But did they have the numbers last week?
Well, they wouldn't have without Flake. You're talking about Friday, this past Friday.
Did they have the number? If they didn't have the numbers and had no choice,
well, apparently this is where it changed according to all reports. As Flake was able to convince the others, a handful of others, to get on board and support the background check.
By the way, I said the ADA, I mean the ABA, the American Bar Association. Mm-hmm. She's gone to them and said, you know, he doesn't have the temperament to serve because he got angry. Excuse me, somebody, isn't that just beautiful? Mm. They sit there and they accuse you. They do, not her, but they say without any corroborating evidence, you're an attempted rapist mm-hmm. and you're a rapist.
Oh, yeah.
Because
right.
of the, you know, because of the, you know, you're a gang rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that, and you get angry at them, and so then they scream and yell and say, you don't have the temperament to serve. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep moving the goalpost.
Well, because it's this is the desperate attempt. You throw not one Hail Mary, but everybody's playing quarterback on the left now, and it's like they're all throwing a Hail Mary, hoping to land it somewhere, that it will eventually block Kavanaugh. The problem is what they don't see is the fight on the right, and the right does not include Jeff Flake.
No.
You want to talk about a motivator? You just move the goalpost closer to the November election. So good luck with that, because I haven't seen conservatives this gelled in a long, long time.
If you'd like to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. More coming up on Judge Kavanaugh and what's going to happen this week with the FBI background check. And I'll tell you about a hit piece done by an old Sandlot football friend of mine from USA Today, all coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Well, as the old rock stations used to say, welcome to Rocktober.
Yeah. Or as we call it, October.
I just had a...
Talktober.
I had a bunch of friends of mine that used to work at rock stations. They used to just razz about it all the time, and... You asked the question, do any rock stations still say that today? It's Rocktober!
Well, how can they not? What are they going to make an announcement? We're no longer doing the Rocktober thing. We're not doing that anymore. We're not. No. You got to keep doing it. You start it, you got to keep going.
Well, I have had, I mentioned I have friends in rock radio. I've had friends and acquaintances in the media all over the place, all over the country. One of them is a man by the name of Eric Brady, who writes for USA Today. Eric was, don't know if he is today, but was one of my neighbor's really, really good friends. And we used to play some Sandlot football together. Eric, when I was, I think he's a year or two older than me, when... we graduated from, I graduated from college, and I didn't graduate from the same college as he did, didn't go to the same high school he did, but I believe my neighbor did. That's why they were such good friends. Eric worked as a sports writer for the Courier Express until they closed down back in 1982. And then Eric got hired by USA Today. Well, let me tell you, when you know somebody like that, and they're, you know, they're from your neighborhood, even if he wasn't, didn't live on my street, because he was best friends and we played, you know, like I said, you got together, pick up football games, whatever. You felt really good. You felt really good. I mean, you looked and you said, wow, there's somebody who's really, you know, really did good. And when he went to USA Today, I was just getting back into radio. And read his columns for years. And when Facebook came around, I can't remember if it was before Facebook, whatever, but we did communicate a few times throughout. I can't remember how, but I know that we did. And it would just be, remember those great old days of playing football? Not long conversations. Remember the great old days playing football at the Elwood Fire Hall Field? And when we went on Facebook, the same thing. And so we became Facebook friends, I don't know, in the last 10 years. And as soon as we became Facebook friends, that was the thing that was brought up. Remember those old days playing football with our neighbor who I, you know, with my neighbor whose name will not be a part of this conversation. But remember those great times? Yeah, weren't they great? Those are great, great times. And, you know, hey, great to see you're doing great. Great to see you're doing good. And every year when he would post on Facebook, because I'm personal, I was personal Facebook friends of his, he took down his Facebook page over the weekend after the huge controversy that we'll get into in a moment. But each and every year, and it happened a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember if I commented on it. I remember seeing that he wrote about it, about the paper, the first paper that he worked for going out of business, the Courier Express in Buffalo. And normally I would comment. I just can't remember if I did or not. You know, I can't remember if I liked it or made a comment. And I went to check the other day after the controversy came out that he did the hit piece job on USA Today on Brett Kavanaugh. And when I went to check his Facebook page, it's gone. He wrote an article called "Is Brett Kavanaugh Right That He Can No Longer Coach Girls Basketball?" I have the original tweet and the original article here, and I just thought it's important to let people know that I knew him. And you do any story, you let people know that your relationship to the subject of a particular story.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote, "Brett Kavanaugh testified the other day that he might never coach girls basketball again. He shouldn't. At least not until further investigation has concluded." And then he goes on to talk about Kavanaugh saying he loves coaching and everything else. And then he talks to the so-called experts, talked about how Kavanaugh is free to continue coaching in the Catholic Youth Organization and his daughter's private schools. Talked to a spokesperson from the Archdiocese of Washington. He said a coach accused of sexual misconduct would have to go through the full legal process and be convicted before being banned. Talked to other people that, talked about he should or he shouldn't. And then he kept asking the question, but should he, but should he, but should he? And he ended it by saying this, and this is not a quote from somebody else. This is Eric writing, at least online, that I have from the archive story. Quote, "The nation is deeply divided. Sometimes it feels like we don't agree on anything anymore. But credibly accused sex offenders should not coach youth basketball, girls or boys, without deeper investigation. Can't we all agree on that?" End of quote. And the tweet that led to promote the article said, "The U.S. Senate may yet confirm Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, but he should stay off the basketball courts for now when kids are around," writes Eric Brady. Absolute piece of crap hit job on Kavanaugh is what it was. Now, USA Today came in, and it was written as a sports article. They deleted the tweet and apparently made him change two of the lines. The lines that are no longer in the newer article is this part is in it where it says Brett Kavanaugh testified the other day that he might never coach girls basketball again. Then this line was eliminated. "He shouldn't, at least not until further investigation has concluded." And the other line that then was eliminated was, "The nation is deeply divided. Sometimes it feels like we don't agree on anything. But credibly accused sex offenders should not coach youth basketball, girls or boys, without deeper investigation. Can't we all agree on that?" That was eliminated when USA Today took down the one story, deleted the tweet, and put out a new story, not in the regular sports section, but in the opinionated sports section. Doesn't matter whether you ask the question. It's a hit piece. What you're trying to portray is that you suspect him as a pedophile. And it got to me a little bit because I've read Eric for 30 years. Like I said, knew him when I was a teenager. And I look at this and I, over the last, year or so, I will admit that I could see in some of his personal posts, you could tell he didn't like Trump. But that's okay. I mean, I got friends who do that. Facebook friends who do that all the time. We never, ever got into a political conversation ever on Facebook.
Right.
But I did see that you could tell that that it was in there. It was in there somewhere. But that's fine because people have their political opinions, and I'm fine with that. We've all got our family members and friends that disagree with us on politics all the time. Again, I haven't seen Eric what, since we were teenagers, so I you know, I don't know. But like I said, I always thought that he wrote with class. This is completely a classless article. It's a hit job. It's unwarranted. It is not up at all to the sports journalistic standards that I knew from Eric Brady when he started writing as a local writer and then went with USA Today probably for the first, you know, for the last, you know, 30 years. This was just an absolute hit piece. And what gets me angry about this, Eric, you know, you and I have done talk radio for a long, long time. And sometimes we may get a little bit overheated, whatever, but we never really get it. We've never really gotten ourselves in any trouble where we've had to apologize for anything that we've said on the air. You know, where management comes in, you must apologize because the sponsors are all bailing. And that's because, number one, we don't think, you and I don't think in any kind of radical ways to begin with. We're not hateful people. We don't hate anybody. But I've always said, if somebody says on the radio and loses it for a little bit, to me, that's a little bit more understanding, even if you tweet it out and it's just a sentence. But right here, what he did, he wrote an article. This was absolutely premeditated. It was a premeditated hit job, apparently because of the rage that he feels of anything that's relating to Trump.
Well, and this is, you know, indicative of the mentality on the left. This is just one more in a long line of people that are now just throwing everything at the Kavanaugh nomination because they have room to do it.
And you know how you know he's wrong and how he knows he's wrong? Because the editors or somebody got involved and said, this goes to the opinion section. You've got to take out these sentences. Because these aren't fact-based at all. Because he called it a credible accusation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a political statement. That is not a statement of fact.
No.
And the fact that the USA Today had to delete the tweet. Oh, and then he deleted his Facebook page completely. He deleted it for a reason. Because he knew the blowback that was coming. Why? Because what he wrote was an absolute hit piece on a man where there is zero evidence except for the allegation that he's ever done anything wrong.
Well, again, they, you know, for them now the claim is reality. And so this goes to not just a hit piece, but a hit piece on his family. Not, he's not capable of making unbiased decisions. Not we're against him because he might overturn Roe v. Wade. Not anything else. It was a hit job directed toward his children. It involves the activities of his children.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine had somebody done this with Barack Obama and his daughters.
Oh.
That person would be unemployed by now. That person would be done. If they were, especially if they were working for a major news organization like USA Today, that would have been over. But this is what the left sees as a win. This is what they see as acceptable tactics. And it will continue now. Thanks to Jeff Flake.
And it's not acceptable, and Eric knows it.
Right.
Eric Brady.
It doesn't care.
Wait, let me make sure. Eric Brady knows it, just so if somebody's just tuning into the conversation, they don't think I'm referring to you.
And they don't care. They don't care that it's unacceptable, because it's acceptable to them, because anything to stop Trump and anything to stop this nomination process.
Just reprehensible what he did in USA Today.
So. And they wonder, and then they gasp that Kavanaugh was passionately defending himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You know it. You're liars. You know it. But you don't care. Zero standards on the left these days. Zero.
Your calls and comments coming up. If you'd like to get in, we do have a line open, and a rare line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Looking to purchase your own truck or trailer? Agile Financial Company may be able to help with financing. Eric Gifford with Agile tells us about the company and the process of getting approved.
We started back in 2004, 2008. We opened our first brick-and-mortar office, and we've been serving truckers through today with an A-plus business rating from the BBB. But we don't go by credit score. We actually look at their credit profile, experience in the industry, stability factor. So we treat them as a person, not a score. We look for the way to get them approved and into their own truck, especially the guys just starting out and getting into their first truck. Commercial trucks, the medium duty to the class 8 trucks, all type trailers of all types as well. Just not brand new equipment. We specialize in just the used equipment. Generally an approval within 24 to 48 hours. After that, depending on how fast the customer wants to move, they can be in their new truck in 3 to 7 days total. Go to Agile, A-G-I-L-E, truck. truck.com. Get an application, print it out there. They sign it, fill it out completely, send it in to us along with the truck or trailer information that they're interested in, and we take off working for them from that point.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Just reading here, this is a town hall. Kevin McCullough, 10 reasons the FBI will clear Kavanaugh. In the supplemental background check, the witnesses involved will be interviewed. All have agreed to fully cooperate. They will answer questions asked and in all likelihood give the same answers they've already given under oath and under penalty of felony perjury if their answers differ from what they previously said.
This is something I was talking to a family member when this was announced on Friday, and I said, here's where it's different. Because you can compare Ford's testimony to her, what she told the Washington Post. The Washington Post thing could change drastically by the time she testifies. And some things did change. So now what's different is, of course, the Washington Post doesn't have prosecutorial power. It doesn't have, there's no bearing there. There was nothing that was said. And this is not a criminal investigation. So she wouldn't be charged with lying to investigators here with the FBI. But it is official record after she's testified. So the standard is the testimony given on Thursday. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been interviewed yet. Now, Ramirez has not testified under oath. She has been interviewed, according to reports, on Sunday. So at some point, Dr. Ford is going to be interviewed. And if her story changes after sworn testimony, then that opens the door to perjury. And the report will go to the White House and then on to the Senate committee once the White House reviews that report, which will come later this week.
And Mark Judge said he would fully cooperate.
Right.
In this investigation, even though he did write another letter over the weekend to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The FBI will, for a second time, along with Maryland authorities, as well as every prosecutor that has looked at this evidence, admit that there's no felony federal jurisdiction here.
Mm-hmm.
After the Democratic Party attempted to have Kavanaugh arrested on Saturday, Maryland officials reiterated their findings that by their standards, the worst charges possible would carry with them a one-year statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Additional prosecutors are on record citing the evidence is insufficient to merit a basis for even a search warrant, much less an arrest. We've said that already before, that you couldn't even get a grand jury wouldn't even indict. With all the law enforcement bodies, what all of the law enforcement bodies continue to point out is a lack of time and place. And while the accuser is 100% sure that something happened, the accused and three witnesses are 100% sure they were not witnesses to any event resembling the description.
Right.
The FBI will also highlight greater amounts of evidence against Dr. Ford, her fear of flying, her misremembering her 100% clear account of the mysterious Safeway second door, if it only had one, her complete inability to figure out how she got to or from the incident, and the continued refutation by her best friend that such a gathering occurred with her present is likely to tip the iceberg. Therapy notes will likely be required to be turned over. Why they were not turned over to the Senate Judiciary Committee is inexplicable, especially since she used that as corroboration of her first telling of the mysterious incident.
Right.
That's really interesting,
right.
Yes. Dr. Ford's own family, not one, was capable of coming to her support. Why weren't they? The FBI may need to ask, given that she was living with her parents at the time.
Right.
There you go.
They apologize for nothing. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. He's Eric Carly, I'm Gary McNamara. I was reading some of the reasons that Kevin McCullough had. There were 10 reasons the FBI will clear Kavanaugh. We went through the first 8. There were 2 left. One of them is her 5 GoFundMe accounts with alleged links to Soros are now blossomingly are now a $1 million surplus were established. Why? To pay her pro bono lawyers? Remember, it was her lawyers that testified they were pro bono.
Right.
If it turns out a Democratic staffer is paying them, then they committed perjury. Are the GoFundMe crowdsourcing efforts really a way to pay off a witness for coming before a Senate committee? In itself, a felony crime? Wow. Interesting.
Well, it's funny. I talked to my dad, and my dad had one question. We talked for a long time over the weekend. He said, I just want to know, where's that money? Where's the money going? Who has that money? Who's actually funding it? By the way, if there's a case to be made that in this case that those GoFundMe donors would have to be revealed, even those who donated anonymously, it depends on who started it and where the money is going. But if it was about an official procedure, then it's quite possible that they could be forced to, GoFundMe could be forced to reveal the donors.
Reveal the names.
Who put money into that coffer. That's the case with Strzok. Those donors have to be revealed. They may have donated anonymously, but that list has to be created.
The FBI may very well uncover a coordinated effort between the Senate staffer who leaked Dr. Ford's name against her wishes. Mm. The law firm recommended by the ranking member and others linked to making accusations.
Yeah.
By Saturday midday, Judiciary Democrats, with the investigation having not been underway for a full 24 hours, were already attempting to undermine the validity and reliability of its efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, Mitch McConnell tweeted a short clip of his floor speech from late Friday. And then he made crystal clear that all 51 Republicans were in agreement in moving forward with the vote, scheduled vote, all 51. I think he may know, this is from Kevin McCullough's column, I think he may know more than he's let on. I believe the FBI may actually be nearing completion of its supplemental background investigation. There you go. And I guess this is the point. I really, politically here, I see this as if, and you know, who knows how long it will take them. I mean, it may not be Thursday night. They could come back Wednesday or Tuesday and say, we're done. We've interviewed everybody.
Sure.
We asked, because they're going to interview everybody who is a part of this particular process. And they'll probably ask those people, is there anybody else we should talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Well, once they talk to those people, it's done. Where else do you go? You talk to the witnesses, and then at that point, it's done. So if it's done by Wednesday, and it's still the same, do you see the... I cannot see the Republicans delaying it any further.
No. I don't know that they'll have the votes. If it comes back early, I suspect that that you will have further scrutiny, you know, and it could be a Jeff Flake or anybody else, but this comes down to the votes of those people who were on the fence.
Well, if they interview Ramirez and anybody she wants them to interview, and anybody who's come forward.
That will likely, by the way, that part of it will likely, that claim will likely take the longest. That likely is more involved because of the fact that it was not a part of public record. Dr. Ford's testimony is a matter of record, and there's only so far, I think, with Dr. Ford's case, there's only so far you can go. And it would basically be, the parameters would be everything that was outlined in the testimony.
Right. Well, but I mean, politically, if they get Ramirez and you know, and they get her, you know, they do an interview with her and everybody else surrounding it, which means they've expanded the investigation beyond just one. Mm-hmm. So the Democrats can't make that point.
No, they'll try to, but no, there's not going to be. They didn't have a point to begin with. But again, this is what's allowed when someone like Flake did what he did.
Will the Republicans at that point move on? And by the way, did you see the story, too? It got a little bit of publicity that the weekend poll that came out, or the poll, what is it, Friday or Saturday, and showed Hawley up 2 points on
Tester?
No, in Missouri.
Oh, yeah, well, right. And we wondered about Claire McCaskill. If there was going to be a last minute yes vote, although politically I think it would be too little too late. It could be, potentially. We'll see, I think, what happens, you know, later this week. But I think the hesitation by those senators who backed this, the further investigation, the FBI background check, then I think politically they could be damaged even if he's confirmed. You did the damage anyway. You allowed this circus to go on, created more of a circus as a result of it. And we know Flake is not up for re-election, which is why I think it became more convenient. The other senators likely jumped on board, and by the way, they did so potentially at their own peril politically, but Flake had to be the guy because he's not up for re-election. He had to be the one that went forward and requested this, and the president, you know, comes in and says, okay, fine. By the way, for what, 2 weeks, better part of 2 weeks, Democrats have been screaming, FBI investigation, FBI investigation. The story from the Hill, the headline, White House defends FBI investigation into Kavanaugh. They got their investigation, now they're screaming about it.
Let's go to Robert in Johnstown, New York. Robert, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Real good. Thanks for calling.
I got a point, but you asked how far this can go after they interview everybody. I think they should interview his kindergarten teacher to see if there was any inappropriate behavior when he was in kindergarten. Because, anyway...
We understand your point.
I mean, really. But how did those two women and a cameraman get in an elevator with a U.S. senator in that building? That's what I want to know.
Well, it was pretty crazy. If you were following the procedures on Friday morning with the committee, and then you had the Democrats walking out, and then they were, of course, outside doing their own press conference and everything else. So you had a ton of chaos. I'm with you, but it's not, I guess, as secure as you would think, even for senators it's not as secure as most people would think it is in that situation.
But of all the senators, it was that particular senator.
That sure. Yeah, no, that was the target. Yeah,
right. Right. Yeah, but that would be the, right. But that would be the target.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the target that they would be looking for. I understand. It does seem like you're the question in your mind is, seems set up, huh?
I would have to think. Yes.
That flake set it up.
Right. Right.
Well, I just listened, and they confronted me, and they made a good point, and so I had to agree with them.
Yeah, and that's it.
I'm with a cameraman.
Right.
What do you think about Lindsey Graham, of all people, defending this whole thing?
Well, I think it's likely was getting to its inevitable point, and also Lindsey Graham is probably the perfect person in that case. Because he has crossed the aisle so many times, I think a lot of people in that regard likely didn't see it coming and also didn't see it working the way it did in building momentum. And while ultimately it didn't work in moving the process forward, thanks to Jeff Flake, it did, I think, build even more momentum for Republicans in general. We'll see if that translates in November at election time, but 5 weeks from tomorrow, by the way.
Well, so, but I do think that Lindsey Graham actually what he said. I think this is what he believes. That
I think it was
old school. Yeah, he understands that the Senate's role is genuine, to advise and consent.
Yep.
And as you said, that's why he brought up Sotomayor. I'm sure that he had problems with Kagan and Sotomayor and the things that they believed. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the job. The job isn't to say. As a senator, it was never supposed to be the job of senators to say, do you agree with me on every point? No. All right. Well, then I'm going to defame your character as a justice.
Right. Right.
That was never the role to begin with. It's, are you competent? The president gets to pick who he wants on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was predetermined. I didn't mean to imply that it was predetermined that Lindsey Graham. It just happens that he was picked to do that. It just so happens that he did do it, and he really was the perfect person to do that in that setting.
866-90-RUN. It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, I want to play this audio cut from Fox News Sunday. Kimberly Strassel from the Wall Street Journal on there. And talking about what we have focused on the entire time. And this is an issue with Kavanaugh where everybody is off into a different tangent.
Right.
They really are. Yeah. We get into the minutiae of things instead of looking at the big picture. And Kimberly here, I think, brings up what we have talked about, which is the big picture. And that's the concept of due process.
Here's really, we have lots of people who go into lots of confrontations on a daily basis in courtrooms, outside of courtrooms, employment disputes. They both present both sides as credible. Credibility is not the question here. It has to be evidence-based. And this is what the FBI is now attempting to do, but it remains the case before these hearings and after these hearings that there is not a single piece of evidence beyond Christine Blasey's word in this that this happened. If we are willing to overthrow all of due process in the country and just say, okay, that won't be the standard anymore, one accusation is enough to lose your job, your life, your home, we've got some really big problems. So the FBI is going to go out there. You already see Democrats undermining the very FBI probe they called for, saying it's not long enough, it's not wide enough, it's not going to go on long enough. I can promise you this probe isn't going to change one person, one Democrat's vote at the end of the day. This was about more delay. And
yep. Yeah, that's all it was about. Knowing that they still had a chance to convince those essentially those four or five senators that are going to make the difference to vote no. Flake, I have no idea where Flake is going to vote, but there is no risk of him voting no. There's no risk that goes his way. You know, I've heard people say, well, he still has to live, you know, with the people of Arizona. Not really. There's no political pressure once this thing goes away.
No.
Unless you're still in office. Unless you're running for re-election. That's the way it works. That's the simple truth of it. And so you have to ask yourself, where does that go? Friday, it came out. The word was Heitkamp was a no vote. So it really came down to those four who were in that meeting. And that would be Collins, Murkowski, Flake, and Manchin. And so you could have seen a 52 or 53 vote had this thing gone to the floor on Saturday and be on the committee. But now, does a Flake pull out and say, well, sorry, I'm not convinced? Because this will not be about the findings of the FBI background check later this week. None of it will be. They're already building their own objection. They built an objection into it the moment Trump announced it. CNN just a little while ago, and their story that they're running, and that is it is narrow in scope. That's exactly what the president intended. But the implication is that it's not going to be enough. And they've already built that into the argument.
Well, but it was narrow in scope because it's an investigation of the allegations against him.
Yes.
So, of course, it's narrow in scope.
Yes, it was designed to be, and it was always going to be. But it's not. But it's going to be fair until they realize it's not working for them, and then it's unfair. They built in the argument against the results of the background check that have not even been presented yet, because the process isn't done yet.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Your calls and comments on the FBI investigation, allegations against Kavanaugh. More of them coming up here just momentarily. Other stories out there. Elon Musk got a slap on the hand, didn't he, Eric?
Yeah, you know, this is interesting the way this thing went down, because as the developments on Thursday came out, essentially Elon Musk and his lawyers early in the day had reached an agreement with the SEC saying, and apparently that whatever the agreement was going to happen, and then by the end of the day they were pulling out of the agreement and he was willing to fight it. This all stems from him saying basically that he was going to take the company private and that he had access to funds. He had done that some time ago, and as a publicly traded company, the chairman of the board and CEO, you can't say that, because you're essentially, by that statement, especially if it's untrue. And that was the whole point, is that did he actually have the funding? Was it secured? Had it been promised to him? Any evidence that he had access to funding to take it private? That started this whole thing into, okay, and then, of course, some other things that he has done on social media that questioned his ability to run the company. But this especially. Because you're manipulating the stock price, the company. It had a jump when he announced that. The stock price had a jump because it was, you know, people, investors, if it were true, might have been able to make good on something like that and do well if they drove the stock up, because he would have to buy out all of that existing stock. Then it came out on Friday, which was interesting, actually late Thursday into Friday morning, The investigation showed that because he came up with this price of $420 per share, and according to investigators, he actually used 420 for a reason that everybody suspected on the internet. He was trying to impress his girlfriend, according to investigators, with the 420 price, and of course, its relation to pot. And he was also seen smoking pot on a podcast. And you add all of that together, and the SEC basically, you know, going after him. Then announced over the weekend that he will no longer be chairman of the board. Well, he can't be for 3 years. He can't run for election as chairman of the board for 3 years. He'll remain on the board, and he'll remain the CEO of the company. So he's going to remain the face of the company. He won't have as big a seat because he's not chairman, but that's going to last for 36 months at least, and could, in 36 months, he could be, if the company's still around, he could be the chairman again. So also a $20 million fine that he paid. So $20 million drop in the bucket. I mean, the government has given him a lot more than that. And that's, you know, the problem that a lot of people have.
What was the first thing you thought of? First thing I thought of was, is that taxpayer dollars?
Well, I mean, effectively it is. Indirectly it is.
Who pays the money?
Because
Tesla, right? Not him personally.
Well, right. The company would not be able to fund that without the taxpayer dollars. Without the taxpayer dollars, Tesla wouldn't be around.
Right.
So they facilitated it either directly or indirectly. But it's more likely that it was indirectly. You know, we talked about the difference with SpaceX and Tesla. If there is a private sector space travel company, not just space travel, but space exploration company, and the American people benefit from the technology and what is learned through that company, and they can do it more efficiently, more cost effective, then I don't have an issue with that. Plug in cars at, you know, $100,000 each, that I have an issue with. Find your investors for that.
SpaceX, I can separate from that we subsidize
from Tesla
for the rich to buy.
Right.
Because poor people don't buy.
They're not buying
those
Teslas.
Cars.
They're not buying Teslas. So I think it was a slap on the wrist. It makes you wonder, you know, if the SEC really had a case or if they just wanted to put this behind them. I don't know which, you know, we'll likely never know.
All right. I'm keeping up to date on this every single week just because I do believe that my prediction, we don't make many predictions, but one of my predictions may come to fruition. And that is where I said months ago, I said, I think I know what's going to happen here with the whole NFL kneeling thing. I think it's going to be basically a don't ask, don't tell, where the Players Association really encourages the players not to do it or stay in the locker room or do whatever and have the thing just slowly fade away because contract talks the contract's up, what, in almost 2.5 years now, but they'll start negotiating it a good year out.
Yeah.
So you're a year and a half away, really, year and a half, year and three quarters away from the contract negotiations probably starting, and they want to make sure the television ratings are going up and not sliding down because they signed a 10-year deal. So we believe that the NFL Players Association has probably gone to the players and the reps and say, encourage your people not to kneel. Well, Week 4, Bengals at Falcons, all players stood. Buccaneers at Bears, all players stood. Lions and Cowboys, all players stood. Bills and Packers, all players stood. The Bills kneeled as soon as the game began, though. Yeah. Eagles versus Titans, only Michael Bennett, the NFL player who lied to the police about the Las Vegas police, or lied about the Las Vegas police, was in the locker room. Texans versus Colts, all players stood. It's only the Dolphins. Only the Dolphins. Wide receiver Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson kneeled during the anthem. Defensive end Robin Quinn raised his fist. All other players stood for the national anthem. Jets, Jaguars, all players stood. Browns, Raiders, all players stood. Seahawks versus Cardinals, three players were in the locker room for the national anthem. So you just had the Dolphins are it. That's all that's left. And that's all you've had. After they're gone, and that sort of fades away now that it's down really to one team, because nobody notices if you're not. No cameras can be on you if you're in the locker room. But you've got four players in the locker room and three players on one team standing. That's what you're down to now. And I do believe it's they just want it to fade away. They don't want any official announcement. It's just slowly going to fade away. And it'll be something that will be a footnote in NFL history.
Yeah.
But I don't think, because you don't hear, they've been, what, discussing this for 3 months, 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you haven't heard anything about, where are the ongoing negotiations going on between the NFL Players Association and the owners here? I thought they were doing negotiations. It shouldn't take long. Either you stand or you don't.
Well, there's no way to draw a hard line in the sand.
No. So you just let it go away, and you encourage the players not to do it, and finally money wins over.
Yeah. And yeah, so I don't watch the show, but I saw the story on, I think it was Newsbusters that had the story on the show Ballers on HBO. I think The Rock is in that. I think he plays an agent or something. But they... we're talking about the whole Kaepernick thing and the people who objected to Kaepernick kneeling and everything else. And they use some, of course, it's HBO, so they use some language, blank them, and in the dialogue. And I thought to myself, why is that a story, even for Newsbusters? I mean, I know Newsbusters, typically, they're promoting they're reporting on the media.
Yes.
You know, if it were CNN saying that, or ESPN, which I'm sure they have.
Well, blank them. It was a Kaepernick, or blank the people that are
blank the people who objected to Kaepernick.
Oh, okay.
Neal.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Eric, I've said this before, though. When every single person, when they say, you're not watching, no, and I go, why not? I explain to them why.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, I didn't know that. 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 Every single person that I've talked to, and there's probably 50 over the last, it's been over a year. They said, well, I think it's a free speech issue. Well, actually, it isn't a free speech issue. Do you know what they did? Well, it stood because of, no, here's what it's about, and here's what I object to. When I tell them, they go, I get it. Okay, I get mm-hmm. it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. We live in an ignorant nation. Let's be honest. The majority of people on the majority of topics are completely ignorant. Not our audience.
Well, they make a choice.
But the majority are.
Yeah, they make a choice to stay out of it and then jump right in the middle of it right. Without knowing.
They don't know. They don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this on economic issues. We've talked about it when it comes to understanding how government works. The vast majority of people, and we're talking over two-thirds of people, can't tell you the three branches of government. They have no idea. They don't even know why we live in our society and why we talk about it and why we talk about American exceptionalism. They have no idea why. As I've said before, I understand why these people come out now and say, America isn't exceptional. They have no idea how it works.
Mm.
None.
Mm.
But they heard somebody else say they don't like it, so they don't like it either. But
yeah.
that's where we live right now. It's unfortunate that in the day and age... And think about it. I go back to when I was in high school and college and how you had to search for information. Remember going to you want to have a question, you'd go to the library. It could take you. I really need to find out about this. Let me go to the library. Okay, I have to get in the car. Drive to the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were very limited.
Right. Find the right book. There's the book. Open the book. Go in. That's not the right book. Go to a different book. You've got 10 books in front of you just to find out one thing.
Well, I mean, look at the difference in the way the media runs. Everybody complains, well, the media controls everything. Actually, they don't these days. Imagine back in the day that went to a newspaper stand, right? Or one of the machines. All right? So you had a newspaper machine, and you put your quarter in, and you grabbed only one. You grabbed only one. Because you don't grab two. no matter how many coupons you need. And imagine at that, next to that same newspaper machine, were 15 to 20 to 100 other machines fact-checking what was in that morning edition of that newspaper. That's what you have today.
Yeah.
You can, the Washington Post can come out and they can put their story out, or CNN.
Well, and that's the thing we've talked about, and people say, but the media controls. You go, whoa. One thing we can tell you with age is we know how it used to be back then. Mm-hmm. And not only are there more news sources out there, but you just brought it up. Not only are there more news sources out there, but you have to realize that our access to information to find out exactly what's going on is greater than it's ever been before. When we were growing up, They could say whatever they wanted. And if you wanted to research it, it would take serious time to do the research to actually know what was going on. Yet, might we say that people were actually more informed back then than they are today?
Well, because they did the basics first. They actually learned and paid attention to and knew the basic ideas on which this country was founded. Well,
they were taught the basics.
Now, you don't have any of that, so what do you have? People thinking, I guess they don't have to learn it because they can Google it if they need it. Well, they're not even willing to do that. But when you know the basics of how a government works or how an economy works, then you can have the debate on the ideas, regardless of who's reporting what, regardless of who takes what position. You can have the debate on the ideas, because it's not about the people. It's always been about the ideas, and the one idea that this country was founded on was liberty, freedom. And so you start there, and when you know the basics, you can have a discussion with anybody, regardless of who or which side is promoting what.
You want to get in? A lot of folks still want to. Well, it's going to happen until we finally get a resolution to this. On the Kavanaugh story, the FBI investigation, and more. If you'd like to get in, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Let us head back to you. We go to Mario in Florida. Mario, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my thoughts on this Judge Kavanaugh are that the old Bolsheviks like Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, even Nancy Pelosi, they're going to continue to attack him. Even after he's confirmed as a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, sure.
And I have another question.
Well, look, they may, but it's not going to go anywhere.
No.
Once it's done, I mean, I think they'll focus elsewhere, because once you get on the Supreme Court, this whole thing about threatening to impeach him, that's not going to happen.
No, that's
not going to happen.
Procedurally, there's nothing that's going to happen.
Right.
The lip service will continue, Mario, no doubt.
Right, but I think they'll move on to other things where they can have more control over.
I see what you mean. Yeah, the lip service, that's where the attack is. The attack is in the lip service, and I think that they'll continue to attack in that sense.
But that's the norm. They call that Tuesday.
Right. They'll attack him when there is a Supreme Court decision they don't like.
If
when
he writes
on
a majority opinion
side
on something,
right.
You know, it's funny because Mario, Gary, and I were talking during the break about the question by George Stephanopoulos asking one Democratic lawmaker over the weekend. Do you think Judge Kavanaugh should recuse himself from any case involving, if he's seated, any case involving Democratic lawmakers? And the lawmaker comes back and says, well, yes, I think that would be the proper thing to do. Well, in that case, I can make the case that if you're a male, you should recuse yourself from any case involving a female. And if you're a female, the same applies. And then beyond that, if you are in a heterosexual marriage, you should recuse yourself from any decision involving a gay marriage, or vice versa, or I'll take it to the most extreme level. If you're not the person in the case, you should recuse yourself because you couldn't possibly understand.
If you're not the defendant,
if you're not the person making the complaint, you have no standing.
Or one of the interesting conversations.
You have no place.
One of the interesting conversations I got in over the weekend with a few other people, which was, well, how come it's only one of the 53 genders have to be believed?
Right.
Only the allegation from one gender? What about the other 53, 54 genders that are out there? And then we just got into the bizarre conversations of why don't you believe the other genders and going through the specific other genders and why they should or shouldn't be believed. It was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I bet. For VDO Road Log, here's your forecast.
We're going to pick up a lot of moisture for Southern California and Western Arizona as the remnants of Hurricane Rosa come ashore through the early part of the week. There's a low in the Pacific that's combining with the system that'll create some unsettled weather. Most likely as far as Los Angeles with a chance of showers today. We'll continue to see the chance of rain along the Gulf Coast from South Texas over to Florida. You'll note we've already seen some snow in the higher elevations of the mountain regions of some of the northern tier states, Idaho, Montana, North and South Dakota. So if you're traveling in and out of I-94 in the region, I-29 or 15, keep in mind this is the time of year that snow can come at a moment's notice. But most of what we're seeing today, falling from Seattle all the way over to Detroit, is going to be in the form of rain. Clear today in the Northeast and Midwest. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90 Red Eye.
Agent Provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, I just thought about something when we had talked about Lindsey Graham earlier. And someone said, you know, tell me you guys, are you surprised? And we said, no. One other reason I wasn't surprised is when you see what Dianne Feinstein did. Mm-hmm. That she did not follow the protocol of the Judiciary Committee, and she kept it secret. I mean, that is so against the protocol of what you do on the Senate Judiciary Committee that he was livid. And the fact that there is the great belief that it was the Democrats that actually kept her name secret and then betrayed her trust and leak the name in order to delay Kavanaugh being confirmed, the Kavanaugh confirmation. And then when you had the senator from Hawaii on the Sunday morning news show, for example, on This Week, being asked, "Are you confident?" This is Hirono. "Are you confident the Democrats didn't leak the letter?" She didn't answer the question.
Right.
You know, you don't have confidence from the Democrats. I think it was Stephanopoulos who wasn't on the left who was stating the other day, stating, "Well, come on, I mean, we all know they did it."
It was on CNN. Yeah. It was
was it Tapper?
Jake Tapper asking the panelists saying, right. "Well, it's clear now that the Democrats, somebody in that party, leaked."
Right,
and the response was, "So what?"
Right. And so you know they did it. And so Lindsey Graham being on the Judiciary Committee, I mean, to them that's infuriating because it's something that I know Lindsey Graham has never done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain protocol that you're supposed to do, understanding what your role as a senator is. Lindsey Graham may be at times part of what was used to be called the swamp, But as we know, the swamp has evolved in Washington, D.C., especially when Republicans look at it, or Trump supporters look at it, or even Trump looks at, you know, what the swamp is. And that's, I think, one of the other reasons that Lindsey Graham was just so infuriated, mm-hmm. and why he let off at that point. Because, you think about it. Remember, first it was an immediate no and he should be disqualified. He's not qualified for this whatsoever. Secondly, they hid an allegation, an extremely serious allegation, from the Senate Judiciary Committee. She got word of it. She's a ranking member.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to bring it to the Senate Judiciary Committee or tell the woman, look, I can bring this to the Judiciary Committee, but your name's eventually going to become known. We keep it secret for a while, but I need to bring it to the Judiciary Committee, and then we'll have the FBI do it. We can keep your name out of it until then, but at some point, if you wish to continue, then, you know, we can keep it anonymous in the FBI inquiry, but after that, if you wish to continue, then your name will become well-known. She didn't do that.
No.
And so everything along the line of who paid for the lie detector, the suggestion of a law firm, everything that has gone, and then you get to the point where they leak her name, and you know they leak her name, the people that were supposed to protect her, and that has to drive somebody like Lindsey Graham just out of his mind, mm-hmm. as it did. He feels he has been completely betrayed. Our point is, you're just learning that now.
Well, it's like Jeff Flake. You know, I'm guessing he thought at some point he was going to make friends with a lot of people on the left. Remember, he was doing the whole kumbaya thing when he announced he wasn't going to run. You know, this isn't the way it should be. The politics has gotten so ugly. But on Friday, he was being called out. And even after he decided to go to the White House, basically, and ask the administration, demand, really, that he was not going to vote on the floor. He would in committee, but not on the floor for the confirmation. Then as soon as that came out, there were others basically on the left coming out and calling him out still. If they believe in this kumbaya approach, it is never about working with the other side or coming together, the two sides coming together. It's Republicans coming over to the left. They don't hail Joe Manchin as somebody who is bipartisan. Well, technically he is, but he's not getting any points with his own party.
No, he doesn't get any praise for it.
No, no. McCain did.
Well, the media doesn't praise him.
No. McCain did. I mean, after right. McCain was Hitler, after he ran for president
right.
and then went away and was no longer a threat, you know, and then after his passing, he was praised by the left. But it's always someone on the right who goes left. It's not the other way around.
Let's go to Peter in New York City. Peter, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good.
As I say, four. Follow the money and broaden the investigation. I'd sort of like to find out a little more about this doctor, high school, college.
Oh, her.
Habits.
Oh, you mean expand the investigation on her?
Yeah, let's see.
Oh, okay.
We don't
okay.
hear nothing about her. This is so tight. This is just as bad as the shooter in Vegas. We didn't hear nothing about her, him, and we're not hearing nothing about her.
Well, you know, this would be my point on Ford. We just found out who she was, so of course you're going to know more about Kavanaugh than you're going to know about Ford, but it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of things that I think as a part of the investigation, if they're doing it the way that I believe they would be doing it, remember, it's a background check. So the players that have been named in this so far might not be what the FBI limits themselves to. And discussing it with Ford, according to her attorneys, as of late Sunday, she had still not yet been interviewed. Well, my question is, you're going to start with Kavanaugh, likely, because it's a background check on him. You start with Kavanaugh, but then you're going to go into all these claims. You're going to try and find separate from the testimony. You're likely going to go and interview maybe even family members, somebody who could back it up. Because what you're trying to do, the idea, is to see if there's anything at all that the White House or the Senate committee should question in his background, and you have to substantiate those claims. So there could be a number of people here that we're not even thinking of that could be interviewed during this process. And that might not be good news for Dr. Ford or her attorneys.
Well, or the guy, I mean, apparently they're going to interview the guy from Yale who said, mm-hmm. no, he drank more
drank
than he
a
said
lot
he
more.
Drank.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know where that goes.
Well, how can you quantify it and how can you prove it?
No, and that's the, and plus it has nothing to do with this. It's got nothing to do with the original case.
No, it's basically this old classmate from Yale claiming that he perjured himself.
Right.
So we'll see where that goes.
How do you perjure yourself on the amount that you drank?
Because he didn't quantify it.
Right. No.
There was no, and there's no proof.
Right. He hasn't been asked about that specific incident.
Right.
So it's not perjury unless you get to that point and ask him about a specific incident mm-hmm. and you have evidence that he lied. But the consumption of alcohol and what amount you took and your judgment of it compared to somebody else's judgment 35 years ago
yep.
would be an interesting perjury case.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't.
Well, because then you would need somebody in the House to start that case against him.
And that's not going to happen. No.
And they will interview this person like they'll interview everyone. And they'll determine whether or not anything was by that person's claim can be corroborated, not just what Dr. Ford claims, but what any other person related to the situation claims. They're going to look to have those claims backed up by somebody else.
Marty in St. Augustine, Florida. Marty, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Marty.
Yes, I'm a first time caller here. And
thanks.
I'm originally from Daytona Beach, but I was a Trump volunteer for an entire year for the campaign, and I watched every rally, including the one up here in Wheeling, West Virginia. And there's thousands of people outside, and you got people inside. I'm convinced that you're going to see some Democrats flip, especially the one in West Virginia, and even possibly North Dakota as well, and it even includes Donnelly, Senator Donnelly out of Indiana. So I think that's where it's going to come from because the pressure is so great for reelection. And we're running great candidates this year in those three states. And we could very easily pick up two of the three unless they get on the stick and start caving themselves, and supporting Kavanaugh.
I don't know. I mean, if they didn't, I don't think it's about getting Democrats. I think it's about keeping the Republicans.
Right.
I did think earlier they might have been able to get last week. Maybe some of the reports that were out. Again, Town Hall had the report, their source report, that ended up not being right.
Mm-hmm.
That they had the votes. That's my question. If they had the votes, why did they call for this?
Right. And here's my, because right after Flake came out, others jumped on board saying, yes, they want the investigation too. So it tells me that they went back into neutral territory. There was word that came out, I believe from Donnelly's camp early on, that he may not be in support on Friday, that he may not support the nomination. I think it comes down to those four who were in that meeting. Manchin, Murkowski, Collins, and Flake. I think those are the ones to watch. I wouldn't count on Heidi Heitkamp or Donnelly in this case. And I think I could have said the same thing on Friday if the whole Flake thing didn't happen. I think you probably could have said that on Friday, that on the broad vote, you were not going to get those votes. So we'll see what happens later this week, but It's, frankly, politically speaking, especially right now and especially with this situation, Friday is a long ways away.
It is. If you want to get in, we have a rare line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to John in D.C. John, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Just to follow up, and I heard this earlier. I didn't know this, but at this point in time, Dr. Ford's lawyer says she hasn't been noticed that she's going to be contacted by the FBI for questioning. Is that correct?
No, she said she hadn't. They said she hasn't been. But she will.
That's what I meant. She will. Well,
yeah, she will.
That's the last thing in the world she wanted. And she was probably promised that she wouldn't have to sit down to an FBI investigation with two people who can thoroughly interrogate her. Because as far as I'm concerned,
it's not an interrogation.
Well, it's a questioning. And they're going to be questioning discrepancy in her testimony in front under sworn testimony about why she didn't know about their offering to come out.
Yeah,
and
wouldn't
talk
have,
to her in California.
It wouldn't have to be sworn anyway because she already was sworn under oath. So if she talked to them,
yeah. anything that she says to the FBI, and thank you for the call, during this interview process is going to be scrutinized because it will be in the report. It's an official report that will end up going to the Senate committee. And the committee will look at that and then compare it to what she said under testimony. When she was sworn in, she was under oath. And so during testimony, that's the official record by which the measurement standard is now set. I don't know what the lawyers will allow her to say to investigators, but they will have to answer questions. And it will also be noted if there are some questions she refuses to answer.
Right, exactly. And the other thing that would be interesting, the psychologist's transcripts.
Right.
That because she used that, they'll be asking for them again.
And they didn't mention Kavanaugh by name.
No.
So, again, what happens from this remains to be seen. I think there's a huge question mark. And I think it must have a lot of people, especially on the Ford side, very concerned. I think her lawyers have reason to be concerned because the FBI will now be documenting this entire process and it will be compared to what she said under oath.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.